broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, is yours for the asking. Or, if you'd like a little bit more, you can go to our website and get a backstage pass, which will afford you a visual. You can look at my ugly kisser right now as I sit here on the beach, right in front of the gorgeous El Pacifico behind me, the Channel Islands, where there was an earthquake about 2 weeks ago. We haven't heard our sea lions around here. We're very concerned. There's no sea lions.
Yeah, but I think they're still out there, probably on an island.
But what the hell are they doing out on that island, man? They ought to be over here barking up a storm, and, you know, but they ain't, man. And I think it has something to do with that earthquake. Sea lions get freaked out by earthquakes, noise, and fishermen.
Yeah, 30-odd-6.
And a 30-odd-6, yeah. Those sea lions and the fishermen, they're at odds with each other. Two fishermen were shot dead by a sea lion. I'm kidding.
No, it's the other way around.
I know that. All right, now, when we last left you, usually we don't do this. We don't drag a topic from one out of the next, but I'm fascinated with a couple of pieces of information that we have been able to get for you. We were talking about Whitey Bulger. And we were talking about the arrest of this gangster. Now, there is a significant interest in this because of the Martin Scorsese film. And I'll give you an example. I had a stinking hunch, so I asked Bud and Jason to look it up for me. And sure enough, the rentals of The Departed jumped fourfold the day after the arrest of Whitey Bulger, according to California-based Nash Information Service, which tracks movie sales. No numbers were given, but they quadrupled. And the reason is, people said, wow, this is about the Jack Nicholson, that movie's the same. Yes, basically. Now, the Departed film obviously takes a lot of liberties. In that film, the Costello character, the Whitey Bulger character, dies. In real life, he's still alive. But I, more to the point, asked the guys to compile for me a list of the crimes that this man had committed. Who the hell is this guy? Well, he was the leader of the so-called White Hill Gang, as we mentioned, or the Winter Hill Gang, and they cooperated with the FBI against the Italian Mafia in New England. That's why Whitey Bulger was an informant. He figured, well, if we can use these Irish against these Italians, we'll get rid of the Mafia. That's our number one target. And then once we do that, then we can turn around and stick the shank in Whitey, and he ain't going to be any the wiser, and he wasn't. You'd think for a guy that's, you know, lives by his wits, he'd be a little bit smarter.
Yeah, but maybe he's expecting it, and that's why he split.
Maybe. James Whitey Bulger is alleged to have been involved in the following killings, according to federal indictments. March and April of 1973... Michael Milano, Al Plummer, William O'Brien, James Leary, and Joseph Notarangeli, members of a rival gang led by Al Notarangeli. James O'Toole, a former associate of the Charlestown-based McLaughlin Gang, in December of 73. In February of 74, Al Notarangeli, leader of the rival gang. In October of 74, James Sousa, criminal associate in a botched robbery. November 1974, Paul McGonigal, member of the Mullins Gang.
Well, they sound pretty Irish.
Well, they are Irish. And on and on and on the list goes all the way up until early 1985. A woman by the name of Deborah Hussey, who was the stepdaughter of some other guy that he killed. So he's definitely a bad man, and that's the story. But that was a very interesting fact that the... And by the way, on Netflix, it's the number 4 rental. On Netflix. On iTunes, the number 37 rental, it has jumped fourfold in sale, DVD sales. Just, I don't know. I don't know why that's, you know, it's just an interesting case of reality and art, I guess, mixing. I don't know who's going to come out on top or not.
Yeah, well, who do you think is going to, what difference does it make?
Maybe people want to look at the movie because they want to know more about this Whitey Bulger guy. But if they're looking at the movie to know more about Whitey Bulger, they ain't going to find out much more than what we just told you. Some of it's true and some of it's horse dung. So there you go. Second bombshell from Casey Anthony's mom. Ladder was left outside the pool. This Casey Anthony trial, man. Whether or not Chris Norton wants to have her on his website, hot, you know, mass murderer moms I'd like to
punch.
Casey Anthony's mother made another startling revelation on the witness stand Friday that the defense helped strengthen their case. A ladder had been left leaning outside of the pool on the day defense attorneys say her granddaughter drowned. All right, what does that mean? For the second day in a row, the defense called Cindy Anthony, age 52, to testify. Her daughter faces multiple charges, including capital murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter of a child, and misleading law enforcement. Well, maybe what it means is the kid got in the pool and then somebody took the ladder out so the kid would drown. Defense attorney Jose Baez guided Cindy Anthony through a testimony, working hard to bolster the argument that Kaylee had drowned and was not murdered, as the prosecutors contend. Baez first mentioned the drowning during opening statements.
Yeah, well, that's it. That was an accident, man.
Yeah, I know. It would have to be an accident if that's the scenario that they are constructing, that the ladder was left leaning out of the pool. What does that mean, man? What does that mean? It means the kid wasn't able to get out? I don't know. But if that's the case, then either somebody drowned the kid on purpose by taking the ladder off of the pool, or someone took the ladder off of the pool by mistake and the kid drowned. But if you think that the kid was drowned on purpose, you could do it a lot easier than taking the ladder out of the pool.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? You can get in the pool with the kid and you can drown the kid that way.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, all of this horse dung about, well, chloroform, and did she break the neck? Did she do that? Did she do this? She really wanted to kill the kid, unless she's dumber than she looks. You know, just because you're a psychopath, it don't mean you got brains. What it means is you ain't got a conscience. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're smart, and smart she ain't.
I mean, she was using, like, credit cards and everything, man. She was taking money from people.
Well, that's what I mean. She's not smart. Here's a chick that kills her daughter because she wants to be in the hot body contest. Or she wants to have a life. Or she wants this and she wants that. They're talking about motive. Now, what are the things, you know...
By the way, what's up with that Nancy Grace, man? She looks like she wants to tear someone's testicles off. Every time...
Well, you watch your language, please, but you're right. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Nancy Grace, other than the fact that there's nothing wrong with Nancy Grace. She's just being dramatic. Okay? But I'll tell you, that Nancy Grace, we were watching her today, and she's got five or six lawyers, and they're talking about this, and they're all... Now, I understand that you got to look at it like a lawyer, so I don't get that put out by these people speculating crazy stuff, because I think what they're doing is they're not necessarily saying, here's what could have happened. I think what they're saying, here's what these people may want to bring up or bring out or talk about. But they're bringing up all of this crazy crap about motive, motive, motive. This goes to motive. What's the motive? The motive? The motive is she didn't want the kid anymore so she could go out and have a life. What's the motive? What was Scott Peterson's motive?
Well, Scott Peterson wanted to tag that blonde.
Tag that blonde. Scott Peterson, he just wanted to be free of a wife and a kid. He didn't give a damn about that blonde, man. He would have dumped her ass as soon as he got tired of her. He just didn't want... He wanted to have freedom. Same thing with this.
Casey Anthony.
Yeah. And just, again, ladies and gentlemen, if I could just... Nobody really brings this home to you. I'm going to bring it home to you. I'm going to bring home to you what a psychopath is. Okay? Because they don't really talk about it. This is a horror movie. This is the opening scene to a horror movie. A woman gets out of a car, dressed to the nines, for a hot body contest in downtown Orlando at the Fusion nightclub. And she goes in, and she meets her friends, and she meets her boyfriends, and she meets the girls, and they have the hot body contest, and they dance the night away, and they do jello shots, and they're slamming all kinds of Jaeger shots, or whatever the hell it is they drink these days. And she, some dude picks her up. And she's, you know, making out with a cat at the bar, and they're making out on the dance floor, and finally she invites him back to her car, and they climb into the car, and they start kissing, and he says to her, "What in the hell is that stench?" And she's like, "What? What? Oh, that's his pizza." He goes, "Oh, my God!" And he's driven from the car in horror because the stench is just overpowering. "Oh, it's his pizza," and she doesn't get it. And the camera pans back to the rotting corpse.
Cut it out, man.
All right, I'm sorry.
God, man.
Well, that's it, man. That's it. She's going to hot body contests. She's driving around. She's this, she's that, she's something else. And a bag of pork rinds, too. And meanwhile, she's got the corpse of her daughter that is decomposing in the back. And she's going off and having herself the time of her life, doing all kinds of stuff, stealing money from people, siphoning the money out of a bank account. I mean, the woman, you know, Jose Baez, God bless the guy, but I think this cat was born behind the ball, man. He was born, and it was 3rd and 15 when Jose Baez came into the world, you know?
Well, you got to hand it to the guy.
Hand it to the guy. You know, it's one thing to make your name with a case. It's another thing to say, you know what, I think I'll go ahead and start my career. I really want to start my notoriety off with a lost cause like this. There's no way, man, unless that jury is comprised of some of the stupidest human beings that God ever let live past the cradle, there's no way. There's no way you can't see it. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. God, sorry to have to put things so dramatically. Lloyd Bonafide is going to be up next to discuss his experience with a Nintendo game that they say the elderly, older people, are having great success with. You know this? Nintendo of America selling a lot of Wii remote games to elderly people. And Delta continues to face backlash over the partnership it has with Saudi Arabia Airlines, something that we have taken great exception to as well. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I need to ask my producer, Jason Rantz, that we are missing a name from this list. We are missing a name from this list. It's the Lloyd, okay? 877-876-PHIL. Let me get Lloyd on. Lloyd, you there?
Yes, sir.
I was just, I had a list of guests that we've had tonight, and we didn't have your name on our list here. How are you?
Well, I'm looking at Peter Falk, you know, the Columbo, and we love that so much, and we're watching an episode right now.
Very sad, huh?
It was very sad, and I think that Peter Falk was so wonderful in this program. I'm just so sorry.
Tell me, Mr. Bonafide, you have an issue here with Nintendo of America, and I don't know whether you are looking to sue them.
No. Anyone, what I want is my money back, and I want to let senior citizens know what this company, under the guise of the creating of a game which they say is healthy for a lot of seniors.
Now, well, they say the Wii games are healthy because of the what?
Because. Of it.
Yeah, hold on for a minute. You're missing a name on this list, and I want the name on the list. Okay? You see this list? The list you just sent me, man, with these names on it, okay? The list you just sent me with the names on it. All right. Apparently, I got it.
You got an idiot for a producer?
Some nights, yeah. So, what's going on?
Well, what's going on is that this the game that I got was a game that they said would help me with my movement and the arthritis that I have. And now what it is a fishing. It's a fishing.
All right, so it's a virtual reality fishing game. What's it called, Hooked?
Yes, sir, it's Hooked.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I've got it here written about 6 times, and I don't need it another time. What I need, actually, is the name of the other... Well, so anyway, go ahead.
So this game, Hooked, was this fishing game. Now, you use a Wii remote, okay? And I can't explain it to you, but it's not plugged into anything.
Okay.
It's just a remote that's out there in the open, in the air. And I was fishing with it. So naturally, my hands are in the position of a fishing rod.
You're holding this Wii remote as if it were a fishing rod.
Yes. This was the advertisement, is what it said, that you could fish.
Okay.
So I was with Gladys, my wife, and two other people we know, Roy and Jenna Nelson, who are both very good friends of ours. And they were there for dinner. They came into the den as I was using this game. And immediately, Jenna turns and blushes. And Roy asks me, he says, what the hell do you think you're doing? And I looked at my hands, and they were in the shape holding a fishing rod, going up and down and back and forth. And as God is my witness, I did not mean it.
You didn't mean what?
You don't know. Do you not understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. No. You're talking about this game.
It's a virtual game, so you're holding onto a fictitious rod.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, okay. Hey, there he goes. Hey. Turn that down, will you, please, in the name of everything holy. If I have to see one more Columbo, I'm going to weep.
So you had your hands in a shape and...
Yeah. So I look like I'm sitting there holding a joystick. And why? Because Nintendo thinks it's pretty funny for an old guy to sit there with an imaginary rod going, ooh! Now, I called Bert Schaefer, and you don't know these people that I called. These are all important people. One of them's in the game business, believe it or not, but he started out years ago with Milton Bradley, you know.
Okay.
And I told them what had been done, and I told them what had happened to me and probably countless millions of seniors, and what on that evening, any given night, seniors all over America were sitting there, you know, sitting, and people are walking in on them like it's a joystick.
And all right, I understand, but beyond being embarrassed, what happened?
Beyond being embarrassed, what happened? This is a man's wife. His wife. You understand?
What I understand, Lloyd, is that a man's wife, this Roy and Gina, right?
Yes, very good friends of mine.
Okay. This lady walks in and sees you holding this simulated fishing rod in a manner that was embarrassing to you.
Yes, because I'm going, you know, up and down like you would if you had a fish, only I don't have a fish. Although, when she said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm holding my fish. And that's when she blushed.
I'm holding my fish?
Yes, because I thought I had a fish. And that's when Roy came in and said, may you burn. And I remember him saying, I'll send you to hell on a shutter.
These are your... I'll send you to hell on a shutter.
He was very angry, sir, yes. Very angry. Now, the question that I have is, if we take legal action, is it a mass action lawsuit? And I don't want to do a massive one.
No, I think they call it class action.
No, they don't. They call it massive. They call it massive.
No, they do not. They call it class action.
You know what they call it when they sue you? Ass action. Because they're taking action against an ass. Now, I'm telling you, Mr. Henry...
Fine. Whatever you want to say.
All right. Now, I have this man's wife who walked in and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm grappling with my fish. She thought it meant something else. The way my hands were positioned, one can understand why she did think it meant something else. And yet, through it all, I tried to maintain my dignity. And when Roy said to me, I hope you die, and turned around and left, that's when I knew I'd been had by Nintendo of America. And so I ask any senior tonight listening to your broadcast or your podcast or any highlight film or reel, or any reproduction.
All right, I understand. Anybody that hears this, join you in your massive action lawsuit against Nintendo.
Yes, sir, but specifically against the game called Hook. Because like the other activity she thought I was engaged in, you can get hooked. But you'll only get hooked into a lawsuit as you, you know, squeeze, well, you squeeze, you're trying to squeeze the fish.
I understand. Good luck with that.
All right. Well, I'm going to get back. I'm still playing the game because I enjoy it so very much.
I understand that. I'll take a break, all right, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Delta Airlines, and their partnership with Saudi Arabia coming up.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, welcome back here from the El Pacifico, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you, Lloyd Bonafide. I apologize that the Nintendo game, you know.
What are you talking about? It made him look like he's.
Yeah, I thought he had a joystick.
All right, we don't have to get specific, but that poor old guy was sitting there with his fly rod, if you'll pardon the expression, and good luck with that, Lloyd. 877-876-PHIL is our number, as well as philhendryshow.com is our website. Now, last night we talked about this, because this is the kind of thing that interests us here on the Phil Hendry Show. Amid growing outrage, lawmaker wants federal probe into Delta-Saudi agreement. Now, let me ask you guys a question as reasonable human beings, as I know you all are. And no, I don't have the Delta Airlines audio. So we're all in a heap here, man.
What?
I don't know, man. People send me audio. I pull it out of the file, and now all of a sudden I don't have any Delta Airlines audio. So I don't know what anybody's talking to me about. I downloaded stories this afternoon. I took all the audio out of those stories. I took all the... I can tell you I did, because I looked straight at it, and everything had been downloaded. And now, for some reason, I don't have Delta Airlines audio. When was that sent, bud?
I sent that audio. What a stories, what I sent you.
You sent that audio with the stories, what you sent me. I got news for you, Ace. The only audio you sent me were three clips of parents allow teen sex. And if I see that story one more time, I'm really going to come unglued. I haven't got any audio. Let me look here. Well, there it is. What happened?
You didn't reboot it, you idiot.
Idiot, huh?
You should have said that.
Well, you are, man. Yelling at everybody.
I rebooted it, and it still didn't boot.
Yeah, sure.
In any event, oh, here it is. Here's the Delta Air. I'm sorry, bud. I'm sorry I yelled at you.
You didn't yell at me.
A U.S. lawmaker wants the Federal Aviation Administration to investigate allegations that Delta Airlines has entered into agreement with Saudi Arabia that could prohibit American Jews from flying into the country, a charge the airline and the Saudi government vigorously dispute. The controversy comes just 3 weeks after U.S. soldiers returning from Afghanistan posted a YouTube video complaining that they had to pay Delta Airlines $2,800 out of pocket to check extra bags, prompting an onslaught of online comments critical of Delta and at least one boycott effort. Delta has since changed their baggage policies for active duty soldiers. Can you imagine that? That's about as stupid as that Starbucks employee who charged those firefighters for water the morning of 9/11. When all hell had broken loose, when there's stuff burning, people jumping out of buildings, all hell has broken loose, and at Starbucks, some dumbass kid says, that'll be $2 for the water. Now here's Delta Airlines, $2,800 these guys have got to charge for their bags. You guys haven't got the sense God gave a billy goat, to quote Ossie Davis in the wonderful film Do the Right Thing. All right. I request your investigation into this matter to determine whether Delta Airlines violated U.S. law or regulation and to ensure no U.S. citizen is denied their right to fly solely on the basis of their religion, Senator Mark Kirk wrote in a letter to the head of the FAA. The call for an investigation came as Delta responded to outrage about a partnership with the sheet wearers over there, Saudi Arabian Airlines and its Sky Team Network, which includes 14 other airlines, including Air France, KLM, and Deutschland Uberalles. No, I'm kidding. Just Air France and KLM. Delta strongly refuted allegations it was discriminating against Jews or Christians, explaining, now listen to this, and this is the dishonest, this is the despicable dishonesty of Delta Airlines, explaining they're required to follow all applicable laws governing entry into every country we serve. Delta does not discriminate, nor do we condone discrimination against any of our customers in regards to race, nationality, religion, or gender, said spokesman Trevor Barnstetter. Delta released a statement explaining it's trying to grow its business in the Middle East. The partnership with Saudi is a strategy of that, is a part of that strategy. Now, listen to the dishonesty. Visa requirements or other possible government travel restrictions to enter any country are dictated by that nation's government, not the national airlines or foreign carriers. These requirements apply to anyone entering the country, either by land or by sea. Now, here is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, and this is why Delta can say what they say. In order that you travel to Saudi Arabia, you must have, you must apply for a visa at one of their consulates, at one of their embassies. In other words, you don't get it stamped right there as you come into the country. Most of us, you and I, can take a passport and we can go to Mexico, we can go to France, we can go to England. We don't have to go to the consulate first to get the visa. But because Saudi Arabia is so backward and such a despicable example of a country where women can't walk around unchaperoned, I mean, you know, it cracks me up, man. I would love to see how that stuff would go over here for like a 24-hour period. They don't allow Jews, and they don't allow Israelis, and they don't let women walk around unchaperoned, et cetera, et cetera. So, in order for you to travel to Saudi Arabia, you have to go into one of their consulates or go into their embassy and say, hi, I'd like a visa to travel to your country.
Are you a Jew?
Yes.
Well, you don't get, you see?
Sorry, we don't give you Jews any right to travel to our country. So Delta Airlines doesn't have to get its hands dirty. Delta Airlines can say, technically, we're not discriminating against anybody. We'll let Jews get on our airplane, sure. Oh, yeah. And we'll let, we don't know. We don't keep anybody off the aircraft. But what they know is that the Saudis have already done the screening process for them so that the Delta Airlines people, clean as a baby's ass, can allow anybody on the aircraft. We didn't discriminate. Well, no, because the Saudis kept all the Jews back behind the chicken wire over there at the consulate. The fact of the matter is, Delta, that this country you have partnered with discriminates against human beings based upon their ethnicity and their religion. They discriminate specifically against human beings based upon their ethnicity. This has got nothing to do with religion. They don't want Jews. And I don't give a damn if it's a Jew that's decided to be baptized a Southern Baptist. I don't care if it's a Jew that became Catholic. I don't care if it's a Jew that mixes in with all of the, you know, all of the mariachis at the local Mercado, man, and is playing banjo on the weekends. No Jews. So Delta can say with honesty, why, we didn't do anything wrong. It's the Saudis. But they have partnered in with Saudi Arabia and with the Saudi Arabian Airlines, a country and an airline that will not let Jews travel on their aircraft or in their country. Delta, much like companies in the 30s, finds a convenient logic and explanation. You got any Jews flying on your plane to Saudi Arabia today, Delta Airlines? I don't know. Sure you do. Ask them. Any Jews on your aircraft going to Saudi Arabia today, Delta Airlines? Do you know? I don't know. Yes, you do. You know what the visa requirements are of the Saudi Arabians. You know what the you know who they're letting in and who they're not letting in. Don't lie to me. Any Jews on your airplane today, Delta Airlines? Why, that's controlled by the Saudi Arabians. Are there any Jews on your airplane? If you were honest, which you're not, you'd say, hell no. You know full damn well they ain't going to let any Jews into Saudi Arabia, and that means there's none on your aircraft. Now, here's the real question. If you knew that there were, what would you do? What would Delta Airlines do if they found out there was a Jew on board their aircraft, somehow got through the screening process? Huh? What would you do, Delta? when they drag the person away at the gate, what would you do? Would you consider that person to be a stowaway? Would you consider that person to be a criminal? Would you consider that person to be, had they duped you, Delta Airlines, as well as Saudi Arabia? Would you concur with the Saudi officials? Would you applaud them? Would you say, well, that's their job, as they drag that person away or otherwise incarcerated them or interrogated them more likely because they're wondering, what the hell are you doing in our country? You must be some agent of the Zionists. Let's take them away and interrogate them, Saudi Arabian style. All right, let's listen to some of the conversation here. This is Jordan Sicolo of the right-leaning American... Wow, whatever that was. Let me turn that off. Of the right-leaning American Center for Law and Justice. And he told CNBC today that he's not happy with Delta's tacit acceptance of discrimination.
Just look at the Delta statement. Nowhere did they say that any of the what they're calling rumors aren't true about Jews, about Bibles being brought on, about women, about Israelis. They never say it's not true. They say it's not our policies. But by letting Saudi Arabian Airlines become part of this alliance, they're going to be enforcing those policies. You've already got U.S. Senator Kirk saying that the FAA needs to look at this now. And the most important part is that Delta Airlines was not forced to do this. This was a voluntary decision to become allied with an airline and a country that discriminates on the basis of race, religion, and gender.
Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly, though, told CNBC the controversy will blow over.
You know, first of all, in terms of will they suffer from this, look, airlines overcome worse publicity all the time, you know, up to and including, unfortunately, sometimes accidents. Think about it. A couple weeks ago, we had Delta, that controversy with charging for military bags. That blew over. This will blow over, too. Air travelers choose airlines based more than anything else on schedules and fares.
Well, that guy's wrong. He's wrong. The charging for bags blows over because they rectified the situation. They said, oh, we're sorry. It was one of those policies that oftentimes is offensive and must be changed once your attention is directed to it. You're charging people for bags that are whatever they described it as, I don't know, extra baggage or something. And so they charge and they realize, oh, my goodness, these are soldiers. And these men have complained about it, and we shouldn't be doing that. And there's a lot of bad publicity, and oh, my goodness gracious, let's get on it. And they change it. Now, this guy says that this will blow over. Well, the thing blew over with the bags because they corrected the problem. Seth, this ain't going to blow over because they ain't going to correct the problem. This is going to continue. There will be groups, there will be American Jewish groups, there will be Israeli groups, there will be people like Phil Hendry every chance I get, because I just like to stir up the crap when I can, not because I do it in any vindictive way, and I'm not trying to just in any mercenary fashion. No, because this is an issue that's important. This is a throwback, man. This is going back to the days when, you know, once again, we got a problem with Jews, okay? And we're not letting them in here, not letting them in there, not letting them in somewhere else. If these were black people, and we keep using the analogy because it's the only thing that makes people understand, but if Saudi Arabia said, I'm sorry, we're not letting any blacks in here, no African Americans, that is, we'll let black people from Africa, and we'll let black people, say, from, oh, I don't know, France or Britain, but America, African Americans, no, we don't let them in. Why is that? Well, because we have a problem with the kind of Islam that they practice. We find it patently offensive, Nation of Islam. How about that? And so as a result of that, no African Americans. Do you think somebody would be saying something about it? Do you think that there would be a huge outcry? Of course there would. Well, there's going to be a huge outcry about this. It'll continue. And Delta Airlines is going to be none the... I don't know. This has enhanced their public image at all.
I don't get what you said about the blacks.
Never mind, bud, okay?
You're talking about, like, the Nation of Islam.
I'm saying that the Nation of Islam doesn't practice any kind of Islam that's the same as the Islam they practice over there.
What's different?
All kinds of stuff.
They got that one big-headed guy and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that.
The one big-headed guy. All right, 877-876-PHIL, and you'll never guess what Lakers forward Ron Artest is legally changing his name to. However, those of us who are old enough remember when a guy named Lloyd Free, who played basketball in the NBA, changed his name to something. It's eerily similar. We'll find out what Ron Artest is changing his name to and what Lloyd Free changed his name to when we come back almost 30, 40 years apart here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a couple of minutes here. This is tomorrow night, or tonight now, as it is. This is a Saturday. Will be our KFI local show, KFI Radio in Los Angeles show. You can watch that on our live streaming video at our website. But this is our last national show for a week as I travel to Toronto, Canada, for a family reunion. And I'm going to update my travels on our website at philhenryshow.com. So make sure you follow our travel diary starting Sunday as I begin to, travel, sojourn back to north of the border. Ron Artest has legally changed his name to Meta World Peace. L.A. Laker forward Ron Artest wants to change his name to Meta World Peace, which he says will have the greatest global impact. Artest's attorney filed a petition in Los Angeles Superior Court on Thursday seeking the change. The 31-year-old NBA star was born Ronald William Artest Jr. But in the court documents, Artest cites personal reasons for wanting to make the change. On August the 26th, court date was set to reconsider the petition. The petition filing was first reported by celebrity website TMZ. Artest is hoping that once the name change is complete, he will show off his new name, his new last name, as Peace on the back of his jersey next season. Meta is said to be a Buddhist term defined as a strong wish for the welfare and the happiness of others. It's very cool.
Yeah. How come black people aren't changing their name? Why, you think it's a slave name and everything?
Don't you shut up, man.
And hold on for a minute. Will you mind if I say this?
Yeah, but they're always doing it.
Why don't you shut up? Starting a fight.
Yeah, man, that's why we do it. Don't want no slave name.
Yeah, why don't you change your name?
I don't want to. I don't care.
Yeah? You mean you want to be Robert Leonard? Why don't you change your name to Buddha, 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 Buddha?
All right, easy. What do you keep bugging him for?
I just wonder why black folks always change their name.
Because we don't want no slave name.
All right. You want a slave name. Artest is hoping that once the name change is complete, he'll show off his... What do you keep bugging him for, man? I'm going to smack you.
Well, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, but you're always like... starting a fight. It brought a smile to my face, Laker general manager Mitch Kupchak said of Artest's planned name change.
Talk about a guy that ought to change his name.
Who?
Kupchak.
Anyway... It brought a smile to my face, said Laker general manager Mitch Kupchak, said of Artest's planned name change. It's been done before, so other than that, I really don't have a comment. The GM was then asked if he had a preference as to whether the back of Artest's jersey says peace or world peace next season. I'm an advocate of world peace, Kupchak quipped. Artest's career has been filled with ups and downs. He helped the Lakers win the NBA championship a year ago, and in April he received an award for outstanding service and dedication to the community. He has testified before Congress to support mental health legislation. But he may be best known for triggering the most notorious brawl in NBA history when he jumped into the stands and attacked a fan while playing for the Indiana Pacers. In November 2004, he was suspended for the rest of that season. Artest would be the first NBA player to change his name. We mentioned Lloyd Bernard Free, who played in the league from 1975 to 1988, had his first name legally changed to World in 1981. A friend had given him the nickname because of his 44-inch vertical leaps and his 360-degree dunks. So his name became World B Free.
That's cool.
Anyway, World B Free, by the way, played with the Cleveland Cavs, the Golden State Warriors, the San Diego Clippers, the Sixers. He also played in the USBL with the Miami Tropics and went on to play with the Houston Rockets for a season as well at the end of his career. In the National Football League, Cincinnati Bengals star Chad Johnson legally changed his last name to Ocho Cinco in August 2008. That means 8-5 in Spanish.
What's that mean?
I guess that's his number. I don't know.
Look up what his number is.
Who, me?
Yeah.
All right.
See if it's 85. You know, that's funny, man. I missed that. And I'm watching the NFL, I guess last year or maybe the year before, and I hear this guy, Chad Ochocinco. Who the hell is Chad Ochocinco? Who the hell is that? I had no idea. And I never really missed Chad Johnson because I'm not that big of a Bengal fan anyway, but it's ironic that I wouldn't hear in his name anymore, only about the exploits and the marvelousness of this cat, Chad Ochocinco, and how great a wide receiver he was. And I never even heard of this dude in college.
You mean you're telling me you didn't know he changed his name?
No, I didn't know he changed his name. What the hell, man? So there you go, dude.
Well, look it up, man. May take a while.
Great. Well, I'm guessing that his number is 85. All right. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical... What? It is 85? World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director Dan Northcraft. Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty are our associate producers. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Tune in tonight on our website for our Phil TV and HD video cast of our KFI show and, of course, the KFI in Los Angeles. We'll see you guys a week from Tuesday following the 4th. Have a wonderful week and have a great 4th of July. And we'll see you. I'm going to be in Canada for Canada Day.
Whoopee!
Okay, well, it's something. There's a barbecue and booze. That's all I care about.
Phil Hendry.